There she is. Right now. I'm not seeing you on Instagram. Are you live? She's trying to say something. I told you, Miss Otto, now this one is not money. So they're not quite the same.
Yeah.
Hello, Facebook and YouTube. How are you guys doing? Welcome to the IG Live. I can't see Instagram. What's happening on Instagram? Hello, Facebook. Rep your city. What city are you logged in from? YouTube, tell me what city are you watching from? Tell me what city are you watching from? Clinton, how you day? Relationship and reality. Clinton, send me a DM if you've never communicated by DM. There's one information that you might need. UK, I can see you. Lagos, I can see you. What's happening to Instagram? Ghana, I see you. Port Harcourt. Maryland, USA. Abuja, Delta. Benin City, Cameroon, how are you? Adamawa, Akwa Ibom, Calgary, yeah, I used to like Calgary, way better than Toronto. Calgary, way better, Toronto, the wahala is plenty.
Scan has completed. Warning, issues have been detected that need your
Is it light blinking?
No, don't go.
Somebody said, can I get your program for? Yeah, just send us a message. If you want to invite me for a program, just send us a message. I'm ready to come to anywhere. Arizona, how are you doing? Arizona, Enugu, I see you. My volume is not sounding. Where?
It's coming up.
Yeah, you can do that immediately.
What is
that? Wow. Hello, IG Instagram family. How are you guys doing? I don't know if this is good. Yep. Hello, guys. How are you guys doing? Pastor, and just our profile page or any of our phone numbers, they'll direct you or send us an email. Any of our contacts you have, you can reach out. Hey, hello everybody, Instagram, how are you guys doing?
We're fine. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Vera, how are you doing?
Very fine, thank you, sir.
All right. Hey, those of you that were here last week, tell us, how was it? How was last week? Were you blessed last week? Was it good? Guyana, South America. Wow, there are places where a person never even go at all. Guyana, South Africa. Instagram, rep your city. Where are you watching from, Instagram? Where are you watching from? How are you guys doing? How are you guys doing? Yeah. Please, who are those people that have not subscribed to our YouTube channel? I want to see you. I have to talk to you. All right. If you are watching us and you're not following, then you are just not doing well. Port Harcourt folks, I see you. San Diego, California, Instagram people, I see you. Somebody missed last week. It's still on my page. You can watch it. So for those not following us, if you're on Facebook, follow Wholesome Sexuality. We're doing this together there. If you're on Instagram, Wholesome Sexuality. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to Wholesome Sexuality. Alana, Maryland, I see all of you. Ghana, hey, Chale, Ghana, I might come to Ghana in May. So all my Ghana people, look out for us in May. Look out for us in May. I might be coming to Ghana in May. So please go follow the platforms. It's important you follow. That it will be a big encouragement to us to know that people are getting blessed and this thing is making a difference for people. So please, if you're on Instagram, go follow Wholesome Sexuality. If you're on Facebook, Wholesome Sexuality, and YouTube particularly. Birmingham, I see you. YouTube, London, I see you. Thank you. And Guy, Angel, Sam Ghanaian. Edem Atta, Ghanaian. Hey, I'm coming to Ghana. Guys, get ready. Portugal, I see you. So, please subscribe, all right? Subscribe on YouTube. Follow on Instagram. I want to see the Instagram numbers go up. I want to see the YouTube subscriptions go up. As I'm watching, I want to see the YouTube subscriptions. So go up. Go and subscribe to Wholesome Sexuality on YouTube. Loads of helpful materials. You know. Somebody say United States of Ikate. Ha, ha, ha. So. Today, let me introduce the page Wholesome Sexuality again. After many years of seeing that, there is not so much wholesome, helpful material for a Christian, particularly in terms of sexual issues, there are not so much wholesome material. So I discovered that, people, Christians were generally shy about talking about sex. And most of our young Christians were being limited to whatever was available from pornography or some social media people just sharing what they like. And they're literally, distracting people, confusing people. And sex is godly. Sex is a good thing. All right. And God has something to say about sex. God is not shy about sex. It's human beings that are shy about sex, but God is not shy about sex. So we decided that, hey, we can bring people help. We can bring people help, especially in the area of sex. All right? Sex is not a dirty topic, as some people think. It's not a dirty topic. You know, I don't know why people... Why do people think sex is a... we've said it last week, but I don't mind because we got a lot of reaction from the first life. So why are people shy? Why does sex bring shame? I don't know what the problem is. So let's just talk about that before we go on.
So I think it's the mindset passed down from the older generation to us, generational passing down, of the mindset. So in the trying to get us not to do it, instead of telling us that God said, should we do it in marriage? You tell us if you do it, you get pregnant, you get this, you get that, you know, it makes you a bad person. If you have sex, you're a bad person. You bring shame to the family. You bring that. If you bring do this thing, it's a taboo. Thank you. So yes. That's the mindset they passed down to us. So instead of not doing it, so you can now do it in secret.
Yeah.
That mindset has really helped people, has already told people that if this thing you are doing is wrong, it's because it's dirty. So it has passed down from generation to generation that sex is dirty. So that's why we don't talk about it. It's dirty. You should even mention the word. You know, you get people saying, we are doing. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You hear people say, we are indulging. You hear people say, I have a challenge, you know. Say it as it is. I'm having sex. Call it what it is. So because they say it as dirty, all of a sudden even the word sex now sounds like a vulgar word.
Yes, yes. And I think
so people don't want to talk about it because it's dirty. So let's just keep our mouths shut. I mean, but we're having babies every day.
Yes.
You know,
the population. Population is growing.
Population is increasing. People are getting married every day. Yeah. So are they just looking at themselves every day? You know. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Nobody's old enough. So even as we have been talking about, we've been getting backlashes.
Yes. 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 And it's so sad. I don't know why. You know, and there are two extremes, actually, to this sex issue. In some other countries, especially in the Western world, let me use countries like America, for instance. You know, I know that they are very vocal and very aggressive about normalizing sex, you know, on one hand. So there's one extreme of overshying away from it, which is what we do practice in Africa more. Then there's the one of over-commonizing it, you know, by exposure to it. You know, that's what the practice is in America. And I think both are actually wrong. I think we should talk about it, but we should also be able to paint the picture, the real picture of what it's about and how it should be properly done. That was, I think.
And set the right boundaries.
Yes. Yes. Because I think if you look at, you know, some of this West, I'll use America, you know, if you look at that, you'll find out that, you know, people get sexually active from 12, 13, 14, and they are getting pregnant, they are doing abortions at that early age because overexposure, over commonizing it. And you see how funny it is that they say people cannot vote from a certain age. I don't know what age it is in America, but I think Nigeria is 18, I think. I don't know.
Yes, Nigeria is 18.
So they say you can't vote at 18. You can't drive until you're 18. In some countries, it's 16.
You can't legally drive until
yes,
you're 18.
Yes. You can't drink alcohol, you know, until you're 18. You can't smoke cigarettes until you're 18 in some of these countries. But nobody frowns at you having sex, you know, under those ages. You know, yes, it can be, they can say it's legally, you know, rape if an older person is sleeping with it. But I noticed that societally, socially, they do not frown, you know, at teenagers having sex. They don't frown at teenagers having boyfriend and girlfriend. And I'm wondering, what do you think boyfriend and girlfriend are going to end up doing? You know, except boyfriend and girlfriend don't have work. What are they going to do? They are going to have sex. That's what's going to happen, you know? So I wish, you know, I think there is a balance. I think we are over shy about it. I think in some countries there's overexposure because if you check the amount of abortions that happen in those places, teenage pregnancies, and these things literally, you know, when we say these things, some people just want to challenge us, but the truth is that it alters people's lives. Sex alters people's lives. When they have those teenage pregnancies, for instance, whether you choose to abort it or to keep it, your life will never be the same.
Never.
So it's a big deal. We're not just trying to be judgmental or holier than thou. It is a fact that if you can stop people from smoking at a certain age, from voting at a certain age and all those things, I think you should also, manage or at least warn people about the dangers or the impact of just having sex, at an early age,
randomly
without any commitment. And if you check, like if you use Black Americans, for instance, oh my God, it is something else. The average young girl in America that is Black American that is 16 year old has a child. It's alarming. The more I started seeing this thing, I was shocked because, that's not the impression you get if you just watch the. But if you really live around the hood, the average 16 year old has a child. And that 16 year old too has a mom, a single mom too. So you see like 3, 4, 5 generations, and they keep duplicating these things. Yes, they keep duplicating these things. And listen, we're not even trying to be judgmental here. The statistics are clear. So people need to understand the statistics are clear. So this is not me just giving you, sometimes when I post things, so people come and be writing. It's not opinion. A lot of times what I'm posting is not even opinion. So you don't have to convince me. The numbers are there. When children grow from single parent homes, it is challenging. In fact, ask any parents that their husband and wife are together. Ask them how difficult, ask them how difficult it is to parent. Then compare it to when one person wants to do that work. Trust me, it's the craziest thing. God never designed it like that. It takes two people to have a child, and God also expects it to take two people to raise a child. All right? This is God's standard. It has nothing to do with me. And the statistics are not good. All right? The statistics are not good in terms of how children that grow in single parent homes turn out. The statistics are not good at all. I know Africa zone is not so bad, doesn't seem so bad because we have a lot of community, whatever. You see, you have uncles that will slap your head into shape if you are misbehaving. There's one guy on your street that doesn't know you that will talk to you. But in some of those countries where they're not so communal, the numbers are not great with single parent homes. The statistics, a lot of people in prison, a large number of people in prison are from single parent homes. It affects those kids in terms of being stable, being achievers, dropping out of school. The statistics are abuse. That one, a lot of people that are being abused are also single parent homes. And the reason is simple, because even in animal kingdom, if one person lays eggs, if two animals mate and they lay egg or have young, one needs to stay with the young while the other goes to hunt. By the time it's one parent, if you leave the young ones to go and hunt, somebody's going to come and swallow those eggs. So you expose your kids to more, abuse when it's one parent. It's just, there's that protection is not there. That there's so much. There's what a man and a woman brings in terms of a child's upbringing. Only a woman can bring it. Only a man can't bring it. So the point is just that, look, guys, when we're talking about sex and obviously, we're not just trying to be people that don't understand that this thing is all night. Look, the statistics are not good. Somebody mentioned drug use, exactly. The statistics are not good, man. Go check the numbers. Drug abuse, sex abuse, go check the numbers. Dropping out of school in prisons. They found out that more of single parents are there, and all that. So there are two extremes. There's the overexposure and there's the overshyness. We Africans, we are more in the overshyness. And I think we should talk more, especially us as Christians. We definitely are not talking about it. Many Christians are shy about us talking about it like this, but we need to just put out some information there. Because every day, you are doing most of the counseling with Wholesome Sexuality. Every day we're running into people that need guidance. I even, sometimes when we post, some people say things like, you shouldn't even talk to people about what they do in their bedroom. I'm just laughing. That's what the whole page is doing.
Pastors should stay away from our bedroom.
Yeah, they don't understand that there's so much problem in that bedroom. So much problem going on there that needs, help. And our counseling lines, you talk a bit about how your counseling sessions are doing, people coming in. So people need this help, both young people, old people, single people, married people, virgins that are getting married. Talk a bit about how those things are going.
Okay, so the sessions have been very interesting. very, very interesting. Thank God for the life we had last week, because it opened up a portal for the virgins to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like an influx of virgins coming to seek help. How do I maintain my virginity? How do I wait? How do I, what do I do? You know, even though more female than male. So for all those saying that there are no virgins out there, there are.
Yes.
There are virgins out there.
Yes.
They are just not. So that's the funny thing. People that are doing the wrong thing are bold enough to speak up.
Yes.
But the ones that are doing what God has asked them to do, they are losing their voices.
Mm.
They don't want to talk. They don't know who to talk to. Because, you know, we had a situation where somebody had, because of pressure, had to tell the world that she's sexually active while she's a virgin. Now she's in a dilemma of, how do I now go back and say, I'm a virgin or I'm not sexually active? Because, you know, you're trying to hide under the shadow of wannabes, what's happening, I'm feeling I'm all. There are virgins out there, even if they're not carrying it on their forehead. I saw something somewhere where somebody said, people expect that virgins will come out wearing turtlenecks.
Yeah, that are dry people.
Hijabs,
yeah.
Like, you know, that they are holy. They don't understand how you are smartly dressed and you say you're a virgin.
Yes.
Understand it. So, when you say a virgin, everyone can ask, are you sure? You know, and then we had people come in with, okay, we had experience from people that got married as virgins. 3 years, 5 years down the line, have not had penetrative sex.
Mm.
So we had to start teaching them what to do. You know what? The feedbacks are beautiful. The feedbacks are beautiful. The masturbation post we put up brought another influx of people. So it's like, I don't know if you remember the post you put up on Sunday on your page. There you wrote, churches in the mind.
Yes, yes.
Churches in the mind. And then you posted it and you walked into church.
Yeah.
So, the life out there, like people see is that, oh, Pastor K says church is in the mind, so she's not going to church. But your real life, you are going to church. So that just depicts what's happening in this social media regime, right? So people come out here and say, hey, it's good to masturbate. What if I'm masturbating with my partner? Well, you know, we're having fun, feels good and all whatnot. They are saying that on the post. But they are coming into the DM and asking for help.
Yes, yes. That's the problem, really. The people teaching the bad things publicly don't not let people know when it starts backfiring. They don't come out to say, that thing I told you last year, you don't hook me. They don't come out and say that. They deceive people.
They don't come out and say it's not working. They'll come behind, you know, to start looking for help, seeking for help and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we're here to help. That's the truth. We're here to help, you know. It's a totally no judgment zone. Totally no judgment zone.
Mm-hmm.
So long as you're willing to open up, you know, like I tell people, if you go to see a doctor and you lie to your doctor, the doctor will treat you based on the symptoms you tell him. But if you are open and say this is exactly what is going on with you, it's for your own benefit, not for the benefit of the doctor.
Mm.
Even when the doctor is charging you, if you lie to the doctor, you will still pay for the wrong treatment.
Yeah.
So, for your own benefits, come out open and say what's the matter, and so you can get the right help. And like you see, it's wholesome help. I told somebody on Friday that it's there on our status, Christian therapy.
Yes.
So, I will preach Jesus to you.
Yes.
Coming in at your own risk, I'm going to preach Jesus to you.
Yes.
So if you know you don't care about Jesus, well, you can continue in your ways.
All right. For those still asking, please, we are still doing free counseling sessions. I don't know how long it's going to last. It's not going to last for too long, but we're still doing free counseling sessions. So if you need counseling, whether you're single or married, the page Wholesome Sexuality is not only for married people, not at all. You start your wholesome behaviors from when you are single, okay? Some of the problem people were dealing with, the problems they have in their marriage started from when they were single, all right?
Yes.
So So somebody's saying, by the way, yes, I'm a black American who happens to be both a lawyer and a criminal justice professor who frequently taught juvenile delinquency. Many non-blacks get pregnant and are sent away. Oh, okay. So somebody was trying to say that white people also have, I was just referring to black people. I know that other communities generally have, how will I say it? Yeah, have children outside wedlock and all this. I know that. I was just talking about black. So, for those that are asking, wholesome sexuality is not only for married people, please. It's not only for married people. All right. If you're single, some of the challenges you are dealing with people in marriage, it started when they were single. The lifestyle that put them in the situation now started when they were single. So please, if you're single and you need a session or follow us on all platforms, not only for married people. Our free sessions are still on. If you need to book it, please just send us a message. Vera, I think maybe can you type the number again, number and name of your page. Just type them together so that you can pin it. You're the one that will be able to pin it from your side. So type the page name and the WhatsApp number. Just pin it. When Gideon comes, they will do the one on Facebook. You know, so we are still doing free sessions. These sessions will be free forever, obviously. And so take advantage of them if you do need them. And if you have friends that need help sexually in their marriages or whether they are single. So you pin now. You know how to pin, right?
Yeah, I can't find it.
It's showing. I can see what you wrote now. I can see the page name and what you wrote. So just pin it. You click it.
Okay, so I cannot see it.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it too. Maybe I should write it then. Maybe if I write it,
yes. I've done it.
Uh-huh, good. So that's the thing pinned on Instagram. That's our WhatsApp number and the name of the page. So please click and follow us on all platforms. All right. If you're on Facebook, follow Wholesome Sexuality. So if you're on Facebook, I know you came because you are connected to my page on Facebook, but I need you to also follow Wholesome Sexuality. And if you're on YouTube, you might be watching on my own YouTube channel, but I need you to subscribe to Wholesome Sexuality on YouTube. All right. Thank you for all those watching from different parts of the world. I'm seeing your comments, Zambia, Malawi, Senegal, America, everywhere. I'm seeing your comments. Thank you for watching from different parts of the world. So, and we have some Zoom sessions coming up. Are they in the link yet, or they're going to be there later?
No,
okay, but just tell us a bit about the two or three, I don't know how many you have, Zoom sessions that are coming up soon.
Okay, so which we're trying to put out as much information based on the demand, right? So far since we started, we found out that we have a good number of people getting married as virgins. So we have a lot of weddings coming up and they don't know what to do. So we're going to start off with, like I said, let's start from the very beginning. We're going to start off.
Sorry, let me interrupt you. For those that are still wondering whether people marry as virgins, please tell them that you had your first dual virgin couple session and they have had sex. Please share it. It's a testimonial. Some people don't laugh. It's a testimony. Please share your testimony first before you continue.
That was not the first. Was, yeah, they have both virgins, but the session was with only the woman.
Okay.
Was only the woman, yes. Right? So I think her major complaint was her husband was getting complacent. So she was three weeks into the marriage.
They've not had penetrative sex. Yeah.
Did not have penetrative sex due to pain. She was having pains, and her mind, you know, she was ready to do any other thing, but just don't penetrate, you know. So first had to deal with her mind. This issue of everybody tells you that the first experience has to be painful. So even if it's not paining you, you just expect the pain. So it was a session of dealing with the mind, then we have to start talking about sex style.
But the baseline, they've been able to consummate. It's just a testimony. I want, don't give the whole story. Just a testimony that your first door couple.
And they're giving very beautiful feedback.
Yes. So please, go back about the Zoom sessions.
Okay. So the Zoom session, like I said, was starting from the very beginning, soon to be wed. I think we're going to tag it soon to be wed. Two virgins getting married. So that's a session for them to prepare them for sex and marriage. Then another session for I call it novice versus pro max. So a session for people that one party has no idea and the other party has experience. You know, there will definitely be a clash. One person has a high expectation, the other person has zero information and stuff, so there will be a clash. So I'm having a session for those ones. Anyway, another session for singles. Singles that are virgins.
Virgin and thriving.
Virgin and thriving,
So take note.
See, they make it somebody like that type, virgin, novice versus pro max.
Those are the situations though, because some people have gotten too much experience from where they are coming from. And they go and now marry a virgin or a novice. So those are Zoom sessions we would have. Novice versus pro max. If you are, you know, marrying, then about to wed, just prepare you for that wedding night, because marital sex and fornication are not the same thing. All right, you need to know.
Yes.
They're not usually the same thing. Then we're going to have virgin and thriving. This is for single virgins that are, you know, want to just know how to continue living a pure life. Want to just be strengthened and see other community of virgins like you that are thriving. Because we meet a lot of people like that just reach out to us and say, I'm a virgin, but I don't even know why I'm a virgin again, or I'm getting tired, or am I the last Nigerian virgin?
Losing all the good guys.
Yes. We'll have Zoom sessions for you. But like she said, we got our first dual virgin couple have sex after 3 weeks of getting married. We're very happy for them. It's a big deal, you know. I wish that we could there and blow balloon, but we couldn't. We can't do that, you know. So it was a big deal, and we've spoken to one or two more virgin couples, and we are waiting to hear the good news. Because you know, somebody when I posted that, my friend Jeremiah, I think his name is Jerry Chase, I forgot his name now. But the sex can wait a while. That couple, when I posted it, somebody was now telling me that some of his friends were saying, how do I even know these people are virgins? How do I know this and this? I was like, when you are in counseling rooms with people, when somebody said they've been married for 3 weeks, or sometimes we've even had longer people married for a year, those days, you know, and they've not.
For feedback now, only for feedback is 9 months.
Yeah, so. It's not something that we can make up. It's not something somebody will waste their time and be sitting there in counseling session discussing when they are not virgins. No, there are people that it actually takes them a while to actually do the thing. So it's not, you'll be guiding them. You'll be guiding them through to have it for the first time. So it's not something people just fake. So let's talk a bit about today's matter. So I don't know how you want to start. Do you want to talk a bit about the difference, or what is celibacy? What is sexual purity? I don't know. Shall I start?
I'm just amazed that the new word reformed revagination.
Yeah.
Either a virgin or you are not. Revagination.
No, but there's born again virgin. If somebody was living a wayward life and is now, a born again Christian. You know, so they are now, you know, I think that's where the revagination is coming from. So it is now.
That's the revagination. Okay, but they didn't put the hymen back. It's spiritually
now. Spiritually.
Okay, so celibacy versus sexual purity. When I did my brief study on it, I found out that a lot of people have the wrong mindset of celibacy. So, like I always say, let's start from the beginning. What exactly is celibacy? What exactly is sexual purity? So, to avoid going into plenty grammar, celibacy is the action. Celibacy is basically abstinence from sexual acts. Abstaining from sexual acts. But now, if you are saying abstaining from sexual acts, different, it means different things to different sets of people. Some people see celibacy as abstaining from intercourse, while some others see celibacy as, so they abstain from intercourse, but they can have outer course.
I didn't know there's outer course.
So there's outer course. Intercourse. Intercourse is penetrative sex.
Sex, yes.
Outer course is every other thing that does not involve penetration.
Sex, I guess.
That does not involve penetration. So they say they are celibate, but they are kissing, they are in the terms that are being used now. They are smooshing, they are kissing, they are fondling, they are doing everything. They are just not having intercourse. They're just not having penetrative sex.
Yes.
But some others say, okay, you know what? So celibacy is just a decision to stay away from sexual activity.
Yeah.
Then some others take it further to now break down what kind of sexual activity they would not involve in.
Mm.
But now, sexual purity it goes beyond the action, involves the mind. So sexual purity is actually honoring and obeying God with both your body and your mind.
Mm. Your whole of your being, sexual, really.
Your whole being. So it starts from the thoughts.
Mm.
It starts not thinking about it, not protecting your windows.
Mm.
So your eyes, what you see, what you hear, what you see, what you hear, what you do, and what you think. Sexual purity is about submitting yourself to God and honoring Him with your body and your mind. But celibacy is all centered around the body.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So I hope you guys are getting that. Because remember, for us here, we are bringing this from God's perspective, all right? We're bringing this from God's perspective. We're not just a social or secular organization. No, this is not why we're here, to bring God's perspective. We're ministers, and this is a Christian page. This is what we believe. So very, very, very important. So she made a great point. I love that. That, you know, in celibacy, most times they focus on intercourse, saying, I won't participate in intercourse. Or generally, people have different parameters they put to say, yes, you know, that is, okay, I can do outer course, but not intercourse, you know, and all that. Some even say, yes, I won't do intercourse and outer course. But you see, the difference is that in sexual purity, you're actually presenting your spirit, soul, and body. You know, just like it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I don't know if Ujumak is here today, unfortunately. But I don't know who will be bringing out scripture for us. You know, it says, let your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So a human being is made up of three parts. You have spirit, you have soul, and you have body. And when you are talking about sexual purity, it involves those three parts. All right, it involves those three parts, and that is amazing. And if you are here, you are not yet a believer, you are not born again, we would like to pray with you, because today we're going to pray a bit at the end. You know, we're going to pray for those that want to live a sexually pure life and want to receive strength to do so. We're going to pray for those that are not even born again yet and want to receive Christ. Because look, if you know, when it's not something you're going to do with your own power, you know, it's something we're going to do with God's power. All right. So, yes, somebody said celibacy, people don't define celibacy the same way, exactly. So some people, like we said, they put their different barriers. Some say, okay, I will not have sex, but I will kiss. Some say, you know, I would kiss, but I will not smoosh. You know, some say, you know, that's celibacy. So, but sexual purity, it's beyond your body self. Your spirit is being kept, you know, blameless before God. Your soul, your mind is also, you're like, you know, worshiping with your whole sexuality. And that's the difference between celibacy and sexual. So it's actually awkward, is odd, is weird when I hear a Christian saying I'm being celibate. It always just makes me wonder.
Papa, most times we don't know the meaning.
Yeah.
That's what makes the word.
No, but it has different definitions, so that's the problem. Celibacy has different definitions.
So people don't know the meaning. They don't know the meaning. Mm. But there was somebody actually, a book by somebody that he said he started as, so he was actually sexually active. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. He was actually sexually active and then he gave his life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, he was not going to do anything again. He was going to abstain totally from sex. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was in studying and dedicating himself to God that he understood that the fact that he was not physically having sex did not mean that his mind was not thinking about sex.
Yeah.
Did not mean that his he had control of his desires. So he didn't fully have control of his desires, right? But the only thing he was not doing was any woman that comes and says he's in a relationship with the person and the person was saying, no, I'm celibate. No, I'm celibate, you know, right? Yeah. It was in deep study, in deep place of fellowship that Holy Spirit ministered to him and said, guy, you are not having sex, but your mind is thinking of what to do with every woman you see around. You are not pure.
Yeah.
The God's ultimate plan is that you are sexually pure, not celibate.
Mm.
So, like we are taught in Believer's Class, man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in his body. But the same way God is three in one, it's the same way we are three in one. So if we're submitting ourselves, we should submit ourselves
totally
to him.
Yes.
Totally to his being. And if we are totally submitted, right? I mean, it's only about sex in the Bible that God says speak. He said from the appearance. He didn't even say from the act. As anything that is looking like it, flee.
Mm.
Flee from it. He said, I had somebody that came up and was asking, she said she has done, she's in a relationship, she has done every other thing, but she has not had penetrative sex.
Mm.
So I said, okay, question. She said, so is she a virgin? Can she call herself a virgin? I said, you are medically a virgin. I asked her, are you born again? She says, yes, she's born again. I said, so if you are born again, this question actually should not be what you should answer. Because every other thing you've indulged in, the world makes us believe that if you're not having penetrative sex,
you are still fine. A virgin. Yes. And it's not true.
If you're not having penetrative sex, that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
The fact that you are carrying out every other action, an action as little as imagining what somebody looks like beneath the clothing.
Yes.
Is equivalent to actually stripping the clothes off the person.
Yes.
So what God wants is control of your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your body.
So, Gideon, Ashong, there's an Ashong, I'm pronouncing your name well. You helped me type the scripture on Facebook. I wanted to pin it, but it has gone. Okay. Then, I don't know if there's, somebody can help me type the scripture in, on Instagram so that we can also pin it. You know,
somebody said that Instagram. She knows of people that have anal sex and call themselves virgin.
Yeah, that's the point. So let's look at some differences. Thank you, Christian Ashong. Hope I'm pronouncing your last name well, and it sounds Ghanaian. So thank you, Sobrinda. So let's look at some differences between celibacy and sexual purity. So please, I need somebody to help me bring up that scripture. Let's pin it. Later we'll bring back these numbers again, but let's pin the scripture first on Instagram. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. you know, bring it up for us. So let's spin it. So, let's look at some differences between celibacy and spiritual, sexual purity. The first difference for me is that in celibacy, you determine the parameters. You determine when it's a pass mark or fail. You are the judge. Yes, Professor. Wait, my network. Okay, am I? Are we back? Can you hear me
yes,
now?
You're back.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
sir.
In celibacy, you're the one that will fix everything yourself. You are the judge, jury, and everything. But in sexual purity, God is the one that determines the standard. All right? God is the one that determines the standard. So, that's number one difference. Those that are writing or taking note, this is number one difference. All right? In celibacy, you are the one that says, okay, I won't have out intercourse, but if I'm in love, outer course is okay. The celibacy, you determine. You can say, okay, I'm not going to have sex with a random guy, but I will kiss somebody I want to marry, or I'll have sex with somebody I want to marry. You know, you come up with your own rules that I won't smoosh, but I will kiss. I won't kiss, but I will smoosh. You know, celibacy basically have different definitions. Different people come up with their own rules. But in sexual purity, our standards are determined by what the Word of God says. That's what I was saying earlier on. I usually find it very weird and funny when a Christian says, I'm being celibate. And I'm saying, that's not even a Christian word. It's not what we do. You know, we don't even operate, you know, the word Christian and celibate should not even be the same sentence because it's just funny. Yes, it's just funny because if you're a Christian, by default, you should even operate at a higher level than celibacy. That your aim is not celibacy at all. You know, your standards are supposed to be way higher than that. Okay, so that's number one difference. Number two difference between celibacy and sexual purity is that in celibacy is something, you know, you try to do by yourself for yourself. Very important. You try to do it by yourself and for yourself. It's a goal you are setting for yourself and trying to use your own power to do it. But in sexual purity, if you notice the scripture we said, they said, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. So it's something that God is doing through you. All right, it's something that God is the one doing through you. So it's not just an ambition you have. It's not just a determination you have. It's something that you understand that God is the one doing it through you. All right, there's a submission and a yieldedness to God involved in it. Very important. Because this thing we're talking about, you can't achieve it by your power. The temptations out there are much and all that. So it's something you are actually yielding yourself to God. All right, to achieve. Number three, difference between celibacy and sexual purity is that celibacy is a burden and a weight. All right, it's just stressful. It's a burden on your neck. It's like somebody is chasing you with cane. You are always under pressure. You are saying, hey, have I done something bad? Hey, have I not done something bad? You're under condemnation and it's a burden on you. But when it comes to sexual purity, it is worship. All right, it is worship before God. They said, offer your bodies as living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, all right, verse 1 and 2. He said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your most reasonable worship. It's your most reasonable worship. So it's not a burden that God is putting on us. It's a worship. You know, it's not coming because we are afraid God will kill us. It's coming because we understand that every part of us is a worship before God. Very important. Every part of us is a worship before God. We're offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. You see this in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Unfortunately, I don't want to remove the scripture I have here. So, but you notice that it's there. Somebody can just type it so that you scroll past and people will just see it at least. You know? So that's, I don't know what number I'm in now. That should be number
4.
So the next one is number 4. All right? In celibacy, you are doing it, you know, for yourself. So it's a thing you're offering for yourself. So you are doing it for you. It's you that have gotten tired of sin. It's you that you just want to do it for yourself. But in sexual purity, you are doing it in honor to God. So that is the main difference. It's in honor to God. You understand that, you know, it's not even whether the world thinks is right or wrong. It's because, look, I want to honor God with my life. All right? Because I always see people say, but I know people that have, they live together before marriage and nothing happened to their marriage. I've seen people that they fornicated where, and nothing even happened. They got pregnant for marriage and their marriage is standing. See, it's not even about that for us as believers. It's not even about that. Just because people moved in together and their marriage worked, that's not our scorecard. All right? Our aim is to honor God, all right, with our bodies and with our marriages, with our relationships. That's our aim. Now, this doesn't mean we get it right all the time, but we know where we are going. We know what we are trying. Our parameters are very different. And the last one I'll talk about, so after I finish the last one, Vera, you can either talk about any of them again or add new ones if you want. So the last one I'll mention here is that when it comes to, you know, I have two more. When it comes to sexual celibacy, it is based on physical boundaries. It is based on physical boundaries. But when it comes to sexual purity, it is based on your total being. We've already said that at the beginning. It's based on your total being, your spirit, soul. You look at, I want to say something. Say something.
So when you were saying that, I'll add something. That was exactly what I was going to add.
Okay.
Celibacy is more about the physical, but sexual purity is the whole being, both the physical, the spiritual, and otherwise.
Okay. then the last one, what number is this last one now?
Six.
So the last one is that celibacy is usually out of convenience. All right. It's driven on convenience. So as long as it's convenient for you, you know, you maintain it. Once push comes to solve, once condition reach a certain level, once crayfish back bend, once someone begins to tell you that, you must get pregnant for me, or else I will marry you, or I'll break up with you if you don't have sex with me. You find out that your stand begins to shake. And to be honest, I counsel a lot of people that tell me, oh, I'm a virgin, or I'm celibate, but my partner is insisting on having sex. And the number one question I ask them is, why are you celibate, or why are you not having sex? The why is what will give you the strength to either stay or not stay.
Yeah.
All right? So, and many people's why, you know that it's based on convenience. It's not based on conviction. In sexual purity, it is based on your spiritual conviction. So it's not something that one bomb boy, because he's promising you marriage, or because she is promising you marriage, or because you want to marry her, she will just confuse you today. No, there is spiritual conviction for that decision. It's different from the convenience, you know, the convenience of, you know, celibacy. Only now that it's closed. I ask people, you want to celibate? Why? That's the first thing. First, I say, my boyfriend is insisting on having sex, and you are getting confused. I say, why do you want to be celibate? If you understand that it's coming from a depth of spiritual conviction, then just because somebody says he will break up with you if you don't have sex, will not mean you will back down. So I don't know how many I've mentioned, but either you add more or you talk a bit about them.
Okay, no, I want to take it from here. Somebody said, so can a man be celibate? They are still using the celibate word. So your question should be, can a man be sexually pure? And I'm like, sexual purity has nothing to do with gender.
Gender, exactly.
It has nothing to do with gender. Both male and female. I mean, the Bible says male and female he made us all.
Yes.
Right? So whatever applies to the woman
applies to the man.
Because sometimes being a virgin or being sexually pure is the work of the woman.
Yes. Yeah.
And we don't blame them because our mothers sat we women, we ladies down and knocked it into our head. So you really don't blame them. I think being a virgin or being sexually pure is the job of the woman.
Mm.
So the man should and be randy. You hear some men say, I want to be a professional for my wife so that when she comes, I will take her. And I'm like, how? how do you even think, or how do you think of such things?
Yeah.
Like, so it's not gender specific.
Yes.
It's for everybody.
Mm.
It's for everybody.
Mm.
And then some people think it's restricted to singles.
Mm. Exactly. Exactly.
People think that this talk we are having now, we are talking singles.
Mm.
We are saying what we are talking about now, sexual purity and sexuality.
In fact, let me interrupt you. Somebody just said it here, and I just added it as an extra point here now, so that they will collate it as together as these points. Somebody says celibacy usually has a time frame, so it's very, very important. It has a time frame. So I'll be celibate till I marry, or I'll be celibate till I'm 30. I'll be celibate till this time, till I meet who I love. But sexual purity is for life. So it starts when you are single. It continues even when you are married. You must maintain sexual purity. So continue. I just want to mention that as a point on its own.
Yeah, so that's what I was wraps up what I'm saying. That it does not, this conversation is not for the single.
Mm.
Or is not in quotes directed towards the single people.
Yes.
Sexual purity is for life.
Yes. Mm.
Right. When we get to how we can maintain sexual purity,
mm.
right? Then we'll talk about that's what you understand the marriage part, right?
Mm.
Because people think that it's for a period of time. So once I marry, that's the end. No.
Mm.
It's when you get married, you are no longer submitted to God.
Yeah.
You are no longer submitted to the Spirit.
Yeah, you can do anything like
that. You no longer honor Him with your body.
Yeah.
So there's a time frame. No, there's no time frame.
Mm.
It's for life. So that's the major difference between celibacy and sexual purity.
Yeah.
It's for life.
Yeah.
Because celibacy is the act, basically. So when you are married now, you are free to do all. But sexual purity is for life. It doesn't have a time frame.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Somebody's still asking that they are confused about sexual purity and celibacy. So you have to watch the video because we've used time to even talk about the differences. We mentioned up to 6 or 7 differences. They are not the same thing at all. All right. So you need to go and watch the video again. We've explained Noye. We've explained it very well. All right. So Noye is saying, it's priests who usually take an oath of celibacy. So in that frame, again, you know, they are just using that word. But in the real sense of it, sexual purity is at a higher level than celibacy. So we've run through the differences, really. If you check dictionary itself, they will tell you that different people have different parameters, you know, for what celibacy is. Celibacy is just you saying, I want to abstain from something. So there are different measures. Somebody can say, okay, oh, I won't eat plantain, but I'll be where they fry it. I will even fry it for people, but I won't eat it. Yes. So that's possible. It's possible. There are people that can do it.
When they are frying plantain, don't taste it.
Some people are hardened though. You know, so, but in sexual purity is your spirit, soul, and body that you are keeping pure for the Lord. All right. It's different from celibacy. It's just saying, I won't have intercourse. But your mind can be doing anything it wants to do. Celibacy is mainly physical. All right. It's mainly physical. We did. Good job. You have to watch the video again. We actually took time to mention up to seven or six differences between them. So if you listen to those differences, you will understand them a bit more. They are not the same thing at all. Sexual purity is your whole spirit, soul, and body. All right. So very, very important. Somebody said, is it wrong for you to talk about sex with your fiancé? Like talking about how to have sex and all. So that's even a good thing. Again, that brings me to the question like, okay, is kissing a sin? Is sexting a sin?
Yeah,
you know?
Having sex.
All those things, you see? Somebody now can claim he's celibate and be sexting. Somebody can claim he's celibate and be kissing. So that's what I'm trying to differentiate for you. Once you understand sexual purity, a lot of the questions you want to ask are answered already. Once you understand that you want to keep yourself pure, then you understand that, you know, you don't even want to be sexting someone and exchanging nudes and things like that. You don't want to do that because that is an impure thing. Jesus was clear about it. He said, if you even think negatively sexually about somebody, impure thoughts about somebody, you know, in your heart, you've already committed the sin. So that's what Jesus was trying to say. Like, look, you need to keep your mind clear, because thinking about it will eventually move you to doing something about it. So it answers a lot of the questions. People ask me, you know, can we talk about sex? If you are not like 1 week, one day, a few days away from a wedding, if you start chatting heavy chats about sex, when you guys meet, you'll be, see, your mind is like a computer. It's difficult. See, you can control what enters your mind, but you can't control what will happen after your mind processes the thought. So that's what people don't realize. You don't get to control all. You can control, you know, what your mind will receive. That's by censoring your eyes, your ears, and all that. You can control that. But once you allow something enter your mind, you usually don't have the control of how things will play out from that point. So you manage it from the beginning. So texting with your fiancé, heavily sexual content, it's going to be difficult to manage, and all that. So sexual purity is from the mind. So you will see people like Job saying, I've made a covenant with my eyes, I won't even look on a woman. You know, things like masturbation, people will ask me all the time, you know, hey, somebody has even asked here on Facebook, say, can someone that masturbates consider herself celibate? Yes, they can consider themselves celibate, but they cannot consider themselves
pure.
Yes, they are not having sexual purity. So that's a good question. Thank you, whoever asked that question on Facebook. Thank you. So the question they asked on Facebook was, can you be masturbating and say you are celibate? Absolutely, yes. If it's celibacy, you are practicing. So those are the differences. And I hope you are getting the difference now on Facebook. Those are the differences. Somebody can say, I'm just masturbating, but I'm not sleeping with somebody, so I am celibate. They are correct, but they are not living in sexual purity. Because in sexual purity, you cannot be involved in masturbation. Because for you to be masturbating, you are operating lust in your mind. All right? That's how masturbation works. For those that are still confused about masturbation, is it a sin or not? It's very simple. What is doing to your mind? First, number one. Number two, you are pleasuring yourself with something that God never designed for you to self-pleasure. You're supposed to give it to another person. And that person also gives to you inside marriage. So the danger, you must understand, we're going to do a full session on pornography. I'm going to bring an expert in that area on pornography and masturbation. So I've already spoken to the guy. He's going to come on. And that's part of what he does professionally, to help people break the habit. But the danger is that once you start masturbating, once you start, you know, doing all these things, it most times affects your intimacy in marriage. I've already established that you need lust to masturbate. So already you're already in sin. If you're already thinking lustfully about somebody, you're already in sin now. Most times what feeds masturbation is you need pictures. So you even need pornography. You need some dirty image to even feed it. So you see how sin, that's what makes sin bad. It leads you step by step.
They all intertwined. They need each other to thrive.
Exactly. So that's what makes sin. Then let's look at the repercussion of masturbation. You are building intimacy to the point where, I mean, self-pleasure to the point where when you marry, nobody can meet that level. Nobody can. Because you are the owner of your own body. You've developed a means to satisfy yourself. So you are the sexologist, Vera. There are cases where we've had to deal with people, you know, that have gotten so used to masturbation, they can't even enjoy sex with their partners. Talk a bit about that.
Okay, so like you already established, yeah, masturbation is self-gratification. And it starts from curiosity. What does it imply? Because most times these people start masturbating from the ages of 12, 15, boarding school, you know, single sex boarding schools. So out of curiosity of, oh, what does the penis do? How will I feel if I touch it? And stuff like that. It starts. And yes, it feels good. And when you feel good, you want to replay.
Yes.
So the more you do that, you train your body to accept pleasure from you, which is selfish. Which is very selfish. So when you train your body to accept pleasure from you, then graduates. it graduates to, what else can I do? I don't want to talk to any other woman. By the time you type one or two things on the internet, you see pornography. You get interested. You watch. From watching pornography, you satisfy yourself. Doing all these things, you train your body, you train your mind. Like you said, the mind is like it's like a blank A4 paper. It's what you put into it that it processes and brings out for you. So when you train your mind to receive satisfaction from yourself, no human being can satisfy after that.
Yeah.
We have situations where the masturbation addict finish having sex with their partner.
Yes.
And still are not satisfied. So the partner has been satisfied.
Yes.
They still have to masturbate before
their real satisfaction. Yes.
So cases like this, the disadvantages are endless. You start having premature ejaculation because most times they are masturbating with speed.
Yeah.
You don't want to get caught. You want to do sharp, right? You are training your body to receive it sharp.
Yes.
So when you get to have intercourse with somebody else, it's difficult to control.
Yeah.
Difficult to control. I've had somebody come saying that started having pain. Now this is a guy having pain in the penis because you pulled it out of proportion. Pulled it out of proportion. It's difficult for somebody else to come and help you. No matter, I said to one of my clients, I said, no matter how much your wife tries to help you, you need to have the desire to stop. So stopping the act of masturbation starts from the desire to stop. The same way you develop the desire to do it, you have to not stop for yourself by yourself. Because if anybody is trying to help you, the same way we say that people that are virgins, and people are not having sex, they're asking them why. If the why is not clear, right, then the why shakes. If it's not clear or strong enough, it will fall. So if the addict is not desiring to stop for himself by himself, you will have problems fall again. So if there's anybody you want to help that is an addict, either porn or masturbation addict, the person needs to have the desire, the will to stop by himself for himself.
Okay. So
somebody was asking, how do I know?
You have left Facebook. Oh. I don't know, how do they bring somebody back? Gideon, please, she has left Facebook. How do you bring her back?
I'm loading again.
She can come in by herself.
She just needs to join the back.
Okay. Yes. Sorry guys, we're just trying to get her back on Facebook. Yeah, okay. I think she's all right.
Yes,
So go ahead. You were saying somebody was.
I said somebody was asking on the comment section that how do I know that it feels good? I'm married, and my husband pleasures me. So there's no how I wouldn't know that contact in the genitals is pleasurable. How would I know?
And besides, you're a trained sexologist. it's like men that are gynecologists that help people deliver babies. They've never had babies, but they know what to expect now. They can describe everything to you, even though they've never had babies themselves. So it's not a mystery. Okay, so before we go into a few questions, we've answered the question. So somebody's asking things like, so is kissing a sin or not when I'm in a relationship? That's a good question, actually. It's a good question. What you need to realize is that you must ask the purpose of a thing before you even know if it's wrong or right. What's the purpose of kissing? All right. One of the major purposes of kissing is to get you sexually aroused, get you sexually ready. Kissing is what differentiates you from animals. Animals can always be ready. When they are hit, they are ready for sex. But you as a human being, you're not programmed to have sex at just a particular time. God expects that you are busy with life, busy with destiny and other things. You're not always in sexual mood. But you see, kissing and fondling and smooshing gets you sexually aroused. So when you are kissing with your partner, you're saying you're planning not to have sex. You're setting yourself up. All right?
So like, I always tell people that ask me such questions, I ask them, do you turn on the cooker if you're not planning to
cook anything? Yes. You know?
So you are kissing, you're not planning to have sex. You are smooshing, you're not planning to have sex.
It's not gonna work out well. All right, it's not gonna work out well. So you are just owning that gas. See, you can't take fire in your bosom and not be burned. All right, you can't take fire in your bosom and not be burned. So kissing for people that are not married is just gonna lead to sin. All right, and besides, you are not married yet. Any sexual activity is off the table. You need to treat that person as holy. Treat your own body too as holy. You know, there are many people that are applying to marry that never married. So, but you have kissed somebody's wife. Then next week again, you kiss another person again. Then didn't lead to marriage. So you're going about kissing about. Keep your bodies holy till you're ready for marriage. All right. That is what God expects. Keep your body holy. Kissing with, and when you start kissing, it never stops at kissing. Kissing itself wasn't designed to satisfy. It wasn't. It's designed to arouse, not to satisfy. So you can't start with it. It's like somebody eating appetizer and saying he doesn't want to eat main course. No. Appetizer, the whole concept of appetizer is to get your appetite ready for the main dish. Nobody goes to a restaurant and orders appetizer. That is what I came to the restaurant to do, to eat appetizer. No. The appetizer gets you in the mood for the main course. So you just don't go there if you want to stay clean. Most people that fell into sin, you'll find that it started from kissing. Started from thinking, I can push the boundaries. So for a believer that is trying to live sexually pure, you're not thinking, what can I get away with? Because when people ask me those questions, I try to tell them that your thinking is already wrong. When you're asking, oh, can we kiss but not have sex? Your thinking is wrong. You're already thinking of what you can get away with. So you're already on the wrong. Yes. You're thinking, can I escape? Like somebody saying, let me, this ice, this cake, there's cake. And you want to just cut the icing. I don't want to eat the cake because it's actually not eat the cake. But can I cut the icing? Can I, once you start, you'll find out that you will keep cutting and keep cutting until you start cutting into the cake itself. So it's a dangerous ground. I don't advise it at all. All right. So let's take a few questions before we pray with people today. So, but before you take questions, please, those of you on Instagram, use the question icon. There's a question icon there. Use it so that your question won't scroll past. Don't forget, please follow our pages. Follow Wholesome Sexuality on Instagram, on Facebook, and subscribe on YouTube. All right? It's better you follow these pages. And we are still doing free counseling, so you can book a free session, you know, and the counselor will speak with you. If it's a medical issue, we also have an in-house medical practitioner that will handle cases along those lines.
Search for Wholesome Sexuality on Facebook.
Yeah. Search for Wholesome Sexuality on Facebook. All right. So I'm not, is that not what she is? Is it?
No, no.
What she is?
It's ours.
Oh, so both of, she's on ours.
Yes. But the one's hosting it.
I think I'm the one that can see the questions.
Yes. Now you are the, on Instagram, you are the one hosting. So you that can see the questions on Instagram. So now you can put it back on. Yes. Please, those of you on Facebook, please, it's important you do so. Those of you on Facebook, please, go to Wholesome Sexuality on Facebook. Please, those on Facebook and on YouTube, Wholesome Sexuality. Go now, and follow and subscribe. Very important, please. And on YouTube, too. Okay, so let's take a few questions before we pray, guys. You can type your questions in. So, Vera, you can check on the question icon and just pick one or two. I also pick from Instagram. Somebody says, so for sexual purity, all right, let me bring it back now. This one. Somebody on Facebook says, for sexual purity, how do you control the urge for sex? And also, how do you make your to be spouse understand that you have chosen this path? Oh, good. So in the first place, Jennifer, that's a good question. In the first place, is these are things you guys should decide from beginning. All right. Many people always think I will start and I will change my partner. It's difficult to change people. Though. You're not the Holy Spirit. You can't change anyone. So it's better for both of you to be on the same page. You know, and my question to you will be, why do you want to be sexually pure? If you're a believer and you're a Christian, then you need to look for somebody on the same page with you. You can't be unequally yoked. The Bible is clear about not being unequally yoked. This is somebody that is not on the same page with you. It's going to stress you out. So if it's not on the same page with you, then that's already a challenge. So it should be clear. It should be a standard for you. Now I'm saying your conviction is not yet strong. If it's strong, then it should be a deal breaker for you if the person is not serious. Now, listen. You are not just being dry or boring. The person that will struggle with self-control before marriage is not going to get healed from a lack of self-control in marriage. People need to understand this, guys. Marriage doesn't stop temptation. If he can't be willing to strive to live a sexually pure life now before marriage, he will have the same challenge even though he's married to you. So it's a big deal. It's a big step. All right. So that's one. But how do you overcome sexual temptation generally? The same way you are keeping your spirit, soul, and body pure, you also protect your spirit, soul, and body. So your spirit, keep your spiritual life active, your prayer life, your study life. You must keep it active. Then your soul, watch out for the things you watch, the things you consume. What are you consuming? All right. If you're following channels that are always sexual in content, they will infuse your mind, man. If you are reading those novels that are heavy in romance and kissing and all that, they will infuse your mind. So some people say you shouldn't even watch some TV channels or some movies. They are just too intense. They will infuse your mind. Then your body is that, hey, be careful of where you go. You already know a guy wants to sleep with you and is inviting you to his house and you are going, no, meet in a public place if you need to see him by force. So protect your body. So it's simple. Guard your whole spirit, soul, and body. All right, that's my advice. I don't know if anyone wants to add something to that.
So basically, guard your gates. What you see, what you hear, you know, what you do. You've actually answered it. But that leads me to a question here on Instagram. Somebody was asking, is it advisable to go on a trip with someone you're in a relationship with and stay in the same hotel room with the person?
Answer now.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because look, like you just said, you are in a relationship with somebody.
Mm.
The whole environment, the whole country, and everywhere you are is not okay. People now took a trip. I don't have a problem with the trip. I actually have a problem with staying in the same hotel room with the person. Right? We can take a trip as a group.
Yeah.
As all friends and stuff like that. So basically, you are guarding your space. But the moment two of you are in the same room, even if there are two beds in the room,
You're putting yourself in danger.
So you're putting yourself in a situation where you have to explain. Right? The risk of anything happening is very high.
Yes. You don't want to tempt the devil in that case.
You know what? You're in a location that nobody knows. When most of these trips, they don't take it to between Festac and Ago. They are taking it from Nigeria to Dubai or from Nigeria to another country, you know. The risks are too high.
Yeah. And it's like what we said about protecting your spirit, soul, and body. In that case, you're not protecting your body, you're putting yourself right, you know, into harm's way. It's not gonna be worth it. So you see. I don't even think if you are single, you should be taking trip together with somebody you want to marry. Why? Yes, when you marry, you finish yourself. So don't be in a hurry. There's no hurry about that. Wait till you are married, man. Wait till you are married. Don't do those kind of things, or you set yourself up. Don't do it.
Somebody said, it wants to be 100% certain about marriage. You are not married.
Yes.
Anything can happen, even on the wedding day.
Yeah.
Even on the wedding day, you can decide to marry again.
And even if you still marry, like we said, sexual purity is not about, you know, just how people will see it. It's about how God sees it. It's about honor and worship. So even if you are still married, you are not married. So will it be pleasing to God? Is it a testimony? Is it something? You know, you need to see your relationship and marriage as a worship. So the moment you are seeing it as just selfish, it's, you know, carnal. You see sex as just a carnal thing. You're already... Something is happening to how you are seeing marriage and how you are seeing sex. I tell you that most times when there's infidelity in a marriage, go and check. Well, most of the time there was fornication before because somebody has lowered how they are seeing sex in marriage. by fornicating. So there's something already going on in your mind. So please don't commonize sex. See it as something holy. See it as something pure. Don't touch it until you marry. Very, very important.
Somebody says here that engagement is marriage in the sight of God.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
So I think people just make excuses to suit what they are doing and to justify whatever they are doing. People bring up different things to justify what they are doing.
Yeah, but somebody asked a good question. Okay, there are two questions. Somebody said, so if sexual purity is for life, so how are you going to be having sex in marriage? Wrong question, because sex in marriage is pure, is holy, so it's not part of what we're talking about. But however, you need to be faithful and loyal to your partner. So that's what we're referring to in marriage. Now, the second question I want you to answer, Vera, this one is a tough question, so that's why I'm pushing it to you. somebody said, if they are masturbating, can they say they are a virgin or they are virgins? If somebody's masturbating.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'll answer this question from the side of the thoughts that being a virgin is restricted to intercourse. Masturbating is outer course. You are not penetrating anything.
Yeah.
You are doing that. You are pleasing yourself, right? So if your mind of virginity or your idea of being a virgin is intercourse, then that's when you ask asking this type of question. Right? And still because of sexual purity, you are not pure.
Yeah.
The thoughts, virginity is beyond. Like I said, I answered somebody, I said, they are a medical virgin. They are a virgin medically.
Yes.
But the God's idea of being a virgin,
yes,
you are not. The only thing you've not done is intercourse. You've done every other thing. So you're not.
I thought this is a hard question, so that's why I ran away from it. All right. Some people are asking, celibacy to abstain from sin is a good thing. You probably came late, so go watch the video. All right. We differentiated between celibacy and sexual purity. They are different. So go watch the video if you came in late. All right. Watch the video so that you understand fully. Okay. Very, very important. Somebody's asking, is anal sex allowed in marriage and is it a sin? We're going to do a full video on that so that would answer it. But I don't know. Do you want to touch it or you want to leave it to you? You can answer it well.
It's a topic that if we start now to bring up things.
Yeah.
You should wait for the video where you relax and deal with it.
Yes. They will. They will. Oh, yeah, check your own. Do you have any questions there?
The person asked me if I married a virgin. Obviously, we're not in the last session.
Yes. Some people were not in the last session.
Yes, I married a virgin.
Some people were not in the last session. So, yes, we answered all those questions. Somebody's asking again, that is kissing on the lips oral sex. You answered that last week too, but you can still say it again.
It's oral. Any form of gratification you do with your mouth is oral.
That's what oral means. Right?
It's oral. People ask this question because they think oral sex is when you're using your mouth on the genitals.
Alone. No. No.
Someone is asking, what should I do if my partner is always repeating what I am not comfortable with?
Okay, answer now.
So, communicate it. You're not comfortable with this particular act, communicate it to your partner. Mm. So the thing, like I said last week, is like people don't have, they don't have appraisal sessions. People don't talk. You know, they think you just keep quiet, endure or enjoy and move on. You know, you need to talk. You need to be able to communicate. I mean, who's married without talking? What's the whole essence without communication? So you need to talk about it. Communicate what you're feeling to your spouse, right? And if it's something that is detrimental to your health, bring your facts. Bring your facts and let your spouse know. You're not married. Oh, I'm assuming that you're not married to, well, you're not married to a stranger. You're not married to a molester, right? Tell your spouse, this is what this thing we are doing. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable with it, right? And then find other ways. Because most times when you say you're not comfortable with this, maybe the person has brought like three or four other options and you're not comfortable with any. You yourself to come up with something that can replace whatever act your spouse is trying to do. Let your spouse know. The major thing is communicate what you feel and what you're comfortable with to your spouse. And there's actually more to this question because we really don't know what you're not comfortable with.
Yes. Sometimes you that might need to adjust your mind.
You might need to adjust, you know. But we really don't know what you're not comfortable with. So,
okay.
Send a DM.
Yes. See, in case we don't answer your questions here, send a message to there's the phone number is there. I think you can put your number and the name of your page now on the, so I will pin that. So please, if we don't answer, we can't answer all the questions today. There's no way we can do that. So if you need your questions to be answered or you need counseling, the sessions are still free for now. So take advantage of it. This is why we're here to help. All right. So, the counseling is still free for now. That's the phone number there. Send a WhatsApp message. No, don't call the number. Don't call. Just send a WhatsApp message. They can now schedule you in for a live session if that's what it requires. If it's something we can answer by WhatsApp chat, we'll answer it. But do not call the line, all right? Send a WhatsApp message. Very important. Very, very, very important. Or a DM if you're on Instagram. We can start communication from there. Don't forget to subscribe to the channels on Facebook, Wholesome Sexuality, YouTube, Wholesome Sexuality, Instagram, Wholesome Sexuality. It really encourages us when we see people subscribing and following. We know that people are getting blessed. It's what it's, all right? So don't just be watching from far,
Sorry, I want to say something. So please, when you send a WhatsApp message, be patient. The same way you are sending it, a lot of other people are sending. So be patient. We will attend to you. Okay. Not that you just send a message now, you're shouting, nobody's answering me, nobody's answering me. Be patient.
There's a question. All right. So please, don't forget, bring it down. There's a question I'm looking for. So, Vera, there's this question here. You are the sexologist. So when you have an ailment that have to do with the female organ and you visited a doctor for a checkup and advice, then he advised you to start having sex, that it will help in the healing of what you are going through. You know, so what do you do?
it sounds like a case dealt with yesterday. That sounds like a case I dealt with yesterday. So the doctor has said something, right? You were not created by the medical doctor. So faith is not denying the facts. Faith is denying the facts. It's hold over you. So they are telling you now that the way to solve this problem is to start having sex. That's a lie.
Mm.
Don't let anybody. I've heard if you have a fibroid operation, you have to start having babies immediately, or else the fibroids will go back.
Yeah.
So the question again is: Are we putting our faith in what they are saying? Yeah. Are we putting your faith in God? What the doctor has said doesn't necessarily have to be lied. But the fact that he's saying now that you need to commit sin to get your healing is where I have a problem with, right? So you totally need to commit yourself to God.
All right.
Commit yourself.
Yeah. Somebody also asked a question. I'll just quickly address that. That we spoke about the emotional and mental part, but we didn't talk about the hormones, that managing sexuality, you know, the hormones that God put there might be the problem. Things just happen naturally. So the truth is that whatever is the problem, whether it's hormones, you know, and or whether it's emotional or mental, the answer is still the same. God can help you to manage it. All right. We're not saying you won't have sexual urges. You're a human being. You can't even pray it away, because trust me, it's like praying away hunger. It's not even healthy to do so. You need it. All right. So is the issue is managing it, and God can help you stay pure. You know, even if you slip and fall, don't give up. You know, that's the difference between celibacy and sexual purity. When if people that slip and fall in celibacy, they usually just continue living the life of sin. Or in sexual purity, even if you make a mistake, stand back on your feet, you know, and keep going. And remember, living sexually pure is about, you have to keep everything around you pure. All right. Your emotions are directly connected to your mind. So if you're always feeling strong urges for sex, I would ask you to check what you're thinking about. The battle is actually in your mind. All right. Not in your feelings. Your feelings just follow your mind. So the battle is in your mind. If you can intercept your thoughts, you'll find that the feelings will go. Sexual urges can be very strong. I agree. But you see, God can't be calling us to a life of purity if it wasn't possible. Then he would just be the scammest God possible. And it's not a scam. If he's telling you can live sexually pure, you can. And like we've mentioned, we have wedded and assisted a lot of virgins, dual virgin, husband and wife virgins, many. All right. So it's not something we are imagining. There are people living this life. All right. And it's possible. And there's so much benefits to it. So please, you know, that's why we started with the fact that if you are not yet born again and you're watching us, please, we would like to pray with you right now. This is a good part for us to lead you to Christ, because sexual purity is not something you're going to do in your power. It's not rules and regulations. It's not religion. All right. It's a worship. It's a life that God will help you achieve. So if you are here and you want to submit, and when you submit your life to Christ, you see, you're submitting your whole life. That's why you are living sexually pure, because you are no longer just your own. You now belong to God, and you know, you are now the temple of God, and you want to keep your body, you know, clean like that. So if there's anybody watching here today, you are not born again. Somebody said, but how do I know if I'm born again or not? Simple. If you die now, are you sure you will go to heaven? If you are not sure, then we can pray. We will need to pray with you. That's just how it is. When you become born again, is that you formally said, I do to the Master. You formally said, I do to the Almighty God. Someone formally said, I do to Christ dying for you. So you are sure you will go to heaven. All right. You are sure you have a hope of salvation in you, assurance of salvation in your heart. If I've never prayed this prayer formally, now is a good time to pray. So for wherever you are watching the world, if you know you are not born again, or you are not sure if you are not born again, and you want to be sure, you want to give your life to Jesus, it's a good time for us to pray. So wherever you are, just put your hand on your chest and you know, bow your head, and you will say this prayer after me. Repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for I am born again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. So if you prayed this prayer, it means you're born again. Please send a message to the WhatsApp or the DM and say, I give my life to Christ during the program. All right? It's important so that we can follow up with you and talk with you on how to continue with your new faith in Jesus Christ. All right? Very important. Because this issue of sexual purity is going to be difficult to do in your power. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the life of God being in you. And it starts from receiving salvation, being born again, being assured that you'll make heaven even if you die today. You will not die today, but even if you did, you will make heaven. Yes. In Jesus' name. All right? So, hey, send us a message if you pray this prayer with us today. Send us a message. We'll be honored to talk with you and help you continue your Christian life and your Christian walk. Very, very important. The next category of people want to pray for are people that want to make up their lives to live a sexually pure life. All right. You've heard what we've said. You've decided that, you know, sexual purity is what you want to do. There are too many benefits. We couldn't go into all of it today, but there's so much benefits to living a holy life. One of it is that all the insanity and madness that comes from sleeping around, you'll be spared. You don't know. You see, we receive loads and loads of messages of people that go through so much heartbreak, so much pain, because they're sleeping around with people. They're messing up. We don't want to count STIs. We don't want to count unwanted pregnancies, abortions, having children, you know, and interrupting their lives. We don't want to count, you know, the soul ties. Maybe one of these days we'll focus on those things. We don't want to talk about the soul ties of people, you know. They've broken up somebody, but they still can't let go. They're attached because they've had intercourse. You know, I still received a mail today of someone that was a virgin and slept with someone. The person has stopped talking to her. Yeah, you know, all kinds of heartbreak and stress. You know, so there's so much benefit to living a sexually pure life. And the ultimate of it all is honoring God. When you're submitted to God, you're fully submitted. It's honoring God. And trust me, you know, whenever you honor God like that, there are so many benefits to it. So God wants you to honor. Your body is a living sacrifice. Your body is a temple of God. So I want to pray with those that are watching today that want to, you know, make up their minds to say, hey, I want to live a sexually pure life from now on. And I want grace and strength to do it. So if you're here like that, this is your turn to us to pray. Vera, you're going to pray the first time. You're going to pray, then I'm going to also just pray after you pray. So go ahead and pray for those here, male and female. Trust me, it's not only women that need to be sexually pure. No, men, you need it. The habit that you develop being promiscuous, trust me, it begins to affect in your marriage. All right, so Vera, go ahead and pray for those male and female that want to keep themselves sexually pure.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We thank you for your children that have decided to submit their whole being to you. We thank you for your children that have decided today to say they want to stay pure. They want to stay pure. They want to honor you with their spirits, their souls, and their bodies. We appreciate you. We say, Father, we are grateful for these ones. Father, we pray for the grace to remain pure. We pray for the will to remain pure. We pray that even as they come to you today, you'll give them the grace sufficient enough to remain pure for the rest of their lives in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We thank you for it will be easy for them. We thank you for you will guard their hearts. We thank you for you will guard their gates. They will have pure thoughts, they will have pure actions in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, because we know our prayers are answered. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, I agree with Vera concerning your children dedicating their lives to live a sexually pure life. Father, we know that it's not something we can achieve by our power and by our might. We ask for the strength of your spirit. We ask for the enablement of your Holy Spirit to help us keep our spirits, our minds, and our body pure and preserved before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for you are able to keep whatever is committed to you. We commit ourselves to you today. Lord, we'll depend on you and not on ourselves, not on our strength. Help us to cut away from anything dragging us into sexual immorality and into sexual sin. Thank you, Father, for we receive the strength to do it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you guys for joining today. Of course, we can't spend, I always try to avoid us spending 2 hours in this thing. But we always exceed 1 hour. I want us to still remain within time. Tomorrow is church. Hey, if you're in Lagos, I'm doing a series in Thought Church titled Faith and Not Fear. Faith, Not Fear. Powerful series on faith. You don't want to miss it. Any of our services on the mainland and on the island, please attend worship with us if you can. If you can't come physically, you can join online. If we didn't answer your question, send us a message. We're still doing free counseling sessions. Send us a message. We'll be glad to counsel with you. Whether you're married or single, all right. Please take advantage of it. Yes.
We have a sexual purity program on
LBF. Oh, that's true. That's true.
So
yes. So if you are here and maybe you have been sexually active and you just want to do some spiritual exercise to help get yourself on your feet spiritually, we have a sexual purity fast. So it's a package where we send you prayer points every day for 21 days. So you can join it on the LDM page, send us a DM, all those things. You can join it. They will also put it on the link in bio in Wholesome Sexuality so that you can just take the course. The short course, 21 days, you fast and pray. The fast mustn't be morning to night. It depends on what you are comfortable with, what you can handle conveniently. But we send you prayer points and we'll pray with you for the whole 21 days. So it helps you get on your feet spiritually and break ties and break connections with the past. So, hey, take advantage of all these things. There will be a blessing. Send us a message. Follow us on all platforms. Please, if whatever platform you are on, follow, subscribe. It really encourages us, helps us know people are getting blessed. We have loads of good materials on our YouTube channel, good videos dropping every other day. And follow our other pages also, LDN with PK, then Kingsley Okonkwo, then Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo. So all that is available. And if you need counseling, reach us. That's the number. And Vera, any final words?
If you need help, we're here. If you need help, we're here. Somebody asked, how can you contact us? This is Kingsley.
Yeah.
Send a WhatsApp message. WhatsApp, actually, faster. Send a WhatsApp message. Or you just click on the link in bio. Everything you need is there. YouTube is there. Facebook is there. WhatsApp is there. Booking session is there. You know, it's all there.
All right. So thank you, guys. Vera, thank you. This was good. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys. All right.